Blog Talk Radio.
Almighty Yahweh promises to gather everyone he gathers. I am a Hebrew. We are Hebrews.
I am a Hebrew, born in Arkansas.
I am a Hebrew, I was born in Texas.
I am a Hebrew, and I am from Florida.
I'm a Hebrew, and I was born in California.
I am a Hebrew, and I was born in San Diego, California.
I'm a Hebrew, I was born in Indiana.
I am a chosen generation, a royal priesthood.
I am a Hebrew, and I was born in Spain.
私は Hebrew で、日本で生まれました。
Soy hebrea, nací en Puerto Rico.
I am a Hebrew from West Africa, Liberia.
I am a Hebrew, and I was born in Straight Lane.
We are Hebrew.
Over my sister.
Hallelujah. Shalom. Sister Ashley here. You are live with another Sister to Sister show. Bless you. Bless you for your time, for tuning in. We may not take much of your time tonight. We're here simply for you, as we always are, but tonight being a little different, the last show before the feast, we'll have the next 2 weeks of no show. So for those of you who won't make it to the show, to the land, and you'll miss the show, bless you. Bless you to those who are overseas, who are not able to travel. With sadness, I heard the news that the borders were closed, and I try not to let any emotions keep me from rejoicing. I know it can still be a beautiful time for each of you, but give me sound checks. Let me know you hear me. I will praise Yah according to his righteousness and will sing praise to the name of the Most High Yah, and I pray that each of you do as well. As I said, I'm your host tonight, Sister Ashley, and Mother Jennifer is with me there in Georgia. Mother Jennifer, let's get a sound check from you, please.
Shalom and blessings to you all, daughters of Zion, and blessings to you, Sister Ashley. It's an honor to be here tonight, and thank you for having me on. And I pray that everybody can hear me. It looks like we've got tens rolling into the chat room, so we can go forward.
Hallelujah. So we're here for your phone calls. We're here for your questions, specifically anything pertaining to your upcoming days, your feast, your travel, any last-minute things that maybe we haven't said on the show for you. That's it. Don't be so quick to click off, though. I do have two questions that we're going to answer on air that was just now sent to me. And I want to give my acknowledgments by saying, Yah, we thank you so much and praise your glorious name for Summer's testimony, for Pastor's initiatives, your grand design to increase Pastor's home and the fruit of his hands. Very impressive to our Abba Yahweh. We glorify you and the sound of the shofar. Hallelujah, on behalf of our Father and what he's doing in all of Israel. We rejoice with each of you who have been healed, who are expecting, who have been longing to come into the presence of the Most High Yah. I thank the Father for providing a way for us to be together. Our feast, our Passover feast, got hindered by the heathen and their rage. So I'm very, very thankful that we have a green light. And I'll see some of you in a very, very few short days. Some of you 5 days, some of you 6, 7, or 8. I want to thank my husband for his duties every day, his responsibilities never being neglected, for loving me so that I can heal, so I can praise, so I can be free, so that I can have peace as a woman in this life. I'm very, very, very thankful for my husband who covers me. I'm thankful for every woman that I've been in correspondence with about the feast. Specifically, I will contact Sister Alex. Alex would reach out to many of the head wives of the assemblies or leaders and elders wives of each assembly and community. I'm very thankful for your hearts, for your honor, for your drive, your determination, every one of you. Koya, Karel, Toma, all of you. Ajali, bless you. And I know all of you by name. I could run the list, but I won't. I thank you all so much. Bless you, Lisa. Bless you, Diane, Mother Carol, Mama Nelly, Summer. And, of course, everyone there in Georgia, everyone in Indiana, everyone in each community that's willing to pull together to make this possible. I'm very expectant. Hallelujah. I'm expectant of the love that we have in our hearts to be expressed by gratefulness, by servitude, by rejoicing, you know, no excuse making, just getting it done. Not much sleep coming up, but just being determined to lay the flesh aside and glorify our Father for everything that he's done and will do. Hallelujah. So I'm thankful for everyone in Israel who shares a testimony, who has a testimony of overcoming by the blood of the Lamb and by your word. I'm overjoyed. Sometimes it's really easy to go on and on with acknowledgments or on and on with those that I'm thankful for because it's really sincerely in my heart. I do lift each of you up that love the Father, that are obedient to him and to your husband. I do call you by name, and I know he's our soon coming king. He'll return. He will find faith in a few, so I'm hopeful. I thank you so much for always tuning in and listening to us and to our beloved shepherd for everything that he does and says that is misunderstood. I'm very, very grateful for. I'm not quick to question anything that he does. I'm not quick to doubt. I don't have things in my heart or in my mind to oppose our shepherd at all, and I share that for each of you to get there in your heart so that you understand his motives, understand his intent, know where he's going. Put your trust in the Father, in him, and just, you know, come along as a follower of the Messiah, as I have, as we have. So to our beloved shepherd, thanks for all that you do behind the scenes. You're not in question. What you do is not in question. And I understand the scrutiny, just in part, of what you may have to suffer on behalf of the lot that you've been called to. And it's an honor to be given the eyes to see and ears to hear to support you and your family. So bless everyone in the Dow House. Hallelujah. Mother Jennifer, thanks for always being consistent with me and willing to do the show, even though we did and do have the opportunity to cancel tonight's show, simply because we follow Pastor. If he cancels his, which we won't have tomorrow night, we know we're starting off the Day of Atonement, Yom Kippur, tomorrow. And we didn't have to do this show, but Jennifer, Mother, was willing, and so was I, just to come before you in case you need us, and keep it short before you're not taking too much of y'all's time. So, Mother Jennifer, please, what's on your heart?
Hallelujah. I want to first acknowledge the Most High Yah for just allowing us to be invited to his feast. It's a wonderful time just to really be in his presence and to be in the presence of his people. I want to really thank him for his long-suffering toward us, his loving commitment toward us, his mercy toward us, his compassion toward us, and just the love of his people, the love that his people have for him that really shows. The love that we have for each other as sisters, the love that is growing as women toward one another. I just want to really thank the Most High for keeping us throughout the year, not just during the dead season, but throughout the entire year in the midst of everything that is going on, for him just continually having his hand upon us as his people. I want to acknowledge my head, Elder Rufus, a man who carries so much from not only the community, but from the ministry. He has so much on his shoulders, so much that is put on him. He never complains ever, and he's always willing to serve Yah no matter what, without any excuse at all. And his love for the people just grows more and more and more every day. And to Pastor Dow, for his righteous example, for really building us up as a people of Yah in faith, showing us what faith really looks like, building up an expectation in us as a people for Yah to truly do his work in us and through us. And I just want to acknowledge the example that Pastor Dow has been, his entire family, what they have been to us. Not just us, but to everybody, everybody in that who follows Straightway Ministries, every single person who has submitted themselves to the leading and the voice of our Jeremiah 3:15 pastor. Thank you, Pastor Dow, for being a righteous example, and to your entire family, and blessings to you all. And that's all I have, Sister Ashley.
Hallelujah. So I'm going to give you all the guest call in, 310-982-4226. Please ask us anything, even if it seems simple or minute, or, hey, where do I park, you know, when I come there. We want to just spend the first few moments talking about the feast. I have maybe 10 items that are on the Be a Blessing that we haven't reached our, let's say, our need, but at the same time, our need is always met. I can't say a need on the show without saying a great and abundant thank you to every single one of you who have sent anything into us, who have called and asked, or who are bringing something. It literally means so much. It is our reasonable service to supply these things for one another. And so thank you abundantly. And if anything, any need is not met, it's on us and our requirement to fulfill the remainder of those things for you, and we will do it with gladness. But the top 10 needs would be sunflower oil, number 10 black beans, number 10 pinto beans. We say number 10, that's the size of the can. Dawn, still lack just a little bit of Dawn dish soap, Arm & Hammer, laundry detergent, any honey would be greatly appreciated. We do use it, and we don't have much on hand. Glad trash bags, unscented, please, unscented, and 15-gallon, and then contractor bags that are 42 gallons, and then Sakina will type this up and post this later on. I'm going to give her this list, and 12-ounce cups, foam cups, please, 12-ounce cups that are foam. Yes, you're more than welcome to bring your own cups or have your own things in your tent. Please remember your water, or if you want to bring a drink to enjoy, please remember your snacks. And Kleenex. Kleenex is something that's also low supply on the list. We still have a week to get these things, and we are able. But if you know that you're bringing something and you know you're coming and you have anything that's on our Be a Blessing list that we haven't seen or received, maybe give us a call. Let us know. We'll write it down, mark it off, and we'll tally up the amount that we have, and it'll be less for us to run out and grab at the last minute. Everything's looking really great. All of our groceries are on hand. All of the supplies that we've asked for have been met with all the mother and her many, many runs, pastor and anyone else who has shopped with them that have run off the land to go get what we need. It's beautiful. And then it's always fun to be on the receiving end of the groceries and unload with all the children. But you know that the grocery shoppers were just out for hours, and it might not have been so fun, right, when you're wading through all the lines and the masks and the nonsense just to get any needs. But it's going to be a wonderful time. And if you don't remember anything else from tonight's show, remember the word rejoice. Pastor Corey did a phenomenal message last Feast of Tabernacles. I'll never forget it, about the just how important it is to rejoice. It's like the main focus of the Feast of Tabernacles, one of them anyway. And so remember to bring a rejoicing heart. Remember to lay your burdens down and really, really begin to be grateful each day all the way up until the feast, so that shouting to him, praising him, dancing to him is easy, and your hands aren't weighted down and your mind is not weighted down. Come with the intention to give him your all and not mind who's looking or anything you've been bowed by. Just really, really praise him like it's your last, and I think it'll be beautiful. Mother Jennifer, any thoughts?
You know, you talked about the shopping experience, and you know, me going shopping here for the community is on such a very, very small scale compared to what you all do there. And when you think about everything that's going on now, you know, being required to wear masks and, you know, the fear that's on the people, and it's not the same experience as it used to be. You know, it's very different from last year. So if we can get these items for Straightway from the Be a Blessing list, the items that Sister Ashley just read off, if we can get these items and we can prevent Straightway from having to go out again and get more things, then that would really be a blessing, because I understand, you know, what it's like to go out there. And again, the people try to project their fear on you, and it's just really something. It's an experience to go shopping nowadays. So please, if you're able, please go out and get these items that are on the list and contact the dining hall so that they know ahead of time what you're getting and what they can scratch off. Sister Ashley, have we ever been to a point where we have not met any of the things that were asked for on the list in years past?
In my opinion, and it's just me, I haven't talked with the sisters before, we've always met expectations, always. So I remember last time, would have been in the last Feast of Tabernacles, we had probably, we were receiving things either slowly, or I think a lot of it was on me when I put out the blessing list. I think it was late, you know, it was a little closer to the feast. So by the time that it happened, it was coming up on us. Things weren't looking like it was going to be taken care of, but I believe Elder Rufus even stepped up, made a video connecting with some brothers and really put the need out there, and man, it just flowed. So no matter what circumstance we've ever been in, we have never lacked, Mother Jennifer, never.
Hallelujah. So there you have it. So please, let's just continue to meet the need. Let's not have a year where there's something that, you know, is still needed and Straightway has to provide. They're actually hosting us. So let's just be a blessing. Sister Ashley?
And you wouldn't know, my sister's behind the scenes, the items that Mother Carol says, make sure that's not on there. Nope, take that off. We'll get that. And so we just kind of make a needs list, and she goes through it, and she literally is, as you can tell, picky. You know, she wants minimal things provided by the saints that are coming, and she really wants the experience to be on us, you know, the hospitality on us, the needs supplied by us. So as large as the Be a Blessing may seem, it really is just just the basics, if I can say that. So special thanks to her and the work that she does, as well as Pastor's family behind the scenes to get it done. There's so many involved, and we just pulled together so nicely. I want to pull up Sister Sakina, come on in. Just one more last minute notice about the range. You know, she's going to be training, she's going to be there, she's going to be giving some instructions to some sisters. I pray that you respect her and the place that she's been given. If you were chief over the dishwashing, I would come to you and say, how could I do it? You know, if you were chief over the cooking, I would come to you and say, how could I do it? So I pray that none of you have or will challenge her at all. Let's make it as easy as we can for my sister. I have not put in the time she's put in. I have not done from, and when she set out to put in the time to do what she's doing, she wasn't at first thinking of anyone else but needing to learn self-defense for yourself. Is that correct?
Yes.
So now that she's been approved and pushed out there and supported by Gideon because of her skills and mentality, it's wonderful that she set herself aside to be willing to help us out. So thank you to everyone in advance for supporting her in the place that she's been put in. So come on up a little bit closer, and anything you want to say about range day, go ahead.
Bless y'all.
Get on down to the mic here.
Yes. Bless y'all, saints. I just wanted to come on here and let y'all know a couple things about the range day. First and foremost, I just want to thank everybody who plans on even coming out there to be tested to see if you can make it to the actual training class. The first thing I want to let you all know is that this will not be a basic training class. I want to stress that. That way that clears up any confusion that people may have. I am not doing a basic class. I did ask if I could, and I was told that that would not be happening at this time, that the basic training class was given during Pentecost, and if you missed it, I will see if I can get with Sister Bridget or someone who might have recorded it so that we can kind of get it either shared on Marco Polo or another platform at a later time. But I will not be doing any basic training for the sisters back there. So that hopefully that clears up a lot of confusion. If you don't know anything about your weapon, if you haven't shot, if you don't know how to pull your slide back or mag release or where your safety is, you do not need to come to the range at this time. Also, I have gotten direction, and I have spoken with Shepherd's household and Shepherd about the leggings protocol for the sisters. If you only have leggings, that's fine for you to bring, wear that to the actual location, but if you have an alternative, we're really asking that you wear jeans, maybe baggy jeans if you're able to, baggy sweatpants, track suits. I call them track suits, you know, the Nike or Adidas track suits with the pants that are loose. We're asking you if it's okay that you guys actually come back there with those, the BDUs and things like that, and not necessarily the leggings. But if that's all you have, then so be it. Don't rush out and get anything. Also, I want to let you guys know that you will need at least 50 rounds of ammunition for your handgun. You will also need 50 rounds for your rifle. We are waiting for the orientation, which is set for October the 2nd. That first 6 day of the feast, and you will need that amount of ammunition for each weapon. If you have more, then that's fine. Per Shepherd, through his Blog Talk Radio, was it last week or 2 weeks ago, due to the ammo shortage, you will not be shooting a whole bunch of rounds back there at all. So that helps with your master's household or your household or however it goes. But those are some of the things that I wanted to put out there about the dress code. Please don't come out your tent in pants, sisters. Just please don't do it. And also, I will be awaiting the direction from our shepherd where he wants the actual training class to go. Please be advised, you will be on the floor. It will be physical. So if you cannot physically meet those requirements, it's best that you do not come to the class. I will catch you on the next class. Also, I just want to let everyone know about the rounds, which I just told you, 50 for your handgun, 50 for your rifle. If you don't have a rifle, don't worry about it. If you don't have a handgun and you just have a knife, I will see what we can do for you. But 50 for your handgun, 50 for your rifle. Do not come to the range with a loaded weapon. Your magazine needs to be outside of your actual weapon when you come back there to the range. Please make sure that you have proper ear and eye protection. We call them ears and eyes back there on the range. I will be standing there at the range much earlier than most of you and will be clearing weapons and checking all weapons that come back there to that range. Please do not come back to the range with a loaded weapon or a mag fully loaded in your weapon when you come back to that range. That is a safety issue, and it is not allowed. Even Brother Gideon does not allow the brothers to come back there, so I will follow suit under his direction and leading. You will not be allowed to come to that range loaded or with a bullet in the chamber at all. I will turn you away. But other than that, y'all, stretch, do your little deep squats, lunges, whatever you got to do, and just come back there ready to learn how to defend yourself against all enemies, foreign and domestic. Blessings to our shepherd for allowing me to have this opportunity and giving enough trust to me and my husband's household to even do this on this magnitude. I thank him. I thank you, Brother Gideon. You know, my brother, bless you. Bless you, Sister Bridget, all your labor and all your work. Thank you, Sister Ashley, Mother Jennifer, for this time. Bless you, saints. Shalom.
Hallelujah. Well said, and no room for confusion. I'm going to try this year, beyond any other years, to always have the information center updated. I mean, to really have it as a place, even if you don't see someone sitting at it, hopefully you'll be able to walk up to it and read any changes or anything going on for the day. That's, I think, going to make a big difference when it comes to communication, because a lot of things are word of mouth. We really play it by ear. You might have Teacher Eric one day and you don't know when. You might have massive deliverance one day and you don't know when. I'm going to really try to post those things at the information center, y'all willing. If it doesn't go that way, then that's okay too, but I'm at least it's there and I'm going to make great effort. So we have two parking locations Pastor had announced already previously on the show. If nothing changes on the show, we have down the hill and up the hill parking. Once you unload and set up your tent, move your vehicle immediately. It gets very, very cluttered, and the less time that you occupy the streets, especially when our truck team is running food up and down the hill, that would be wonderful. So really unload, move your car, come back, set up. We do have a small team of young men that also help put up tents, but to the best of your ability, please put your own tent up and call us for any mishaps or anything going on. Seek out Deacon, Brother Scott, Brother Brett, some of the brethren that live on the land, Brother JC, Brother Victor. If you have any questions, just tossing some names out there. So when you get here, you're really just free-floating. You know, our meal times are 8 and 3. If you get an armband, it's going to tell you a different time, but it's not going to be too far from that 8 and 3 schedule. You know, our snack time at night is going to be anywhere after 6 p.m., and you can sign up at the chore list that's going to be at the information center. You can walk around. You can check out the creek. You can greet the saints, help somebody put away their tent or put up their tent. You can congregate outside, and some people really, you know, those who have been here a few times, they are really, really well prepared, and they have everything they need outside their tent, have little canopies and coolers and chairs, and some of it is better than homes, I think. It's beautiful. I got two. And anything else about the feast, y'all know you can call in. Please type in a question if you got it. I don't intend on keeping you long. So I think I'm done. Mother Jennifer, your thoughts?
I wanted to just add and say how very, very important it is to, do a test run on your tent before you get to the land. You know, we tested our tents out last week just to make sure we didn't have any missing pieces or anything like that. No holes in the tents, no rips or nothing unexpected, so that when you get to the land that, you know, you're not a burden because you're trying to figure out what you're going to do so that you can stay warm or stay dry or whatever, what have you. But just make sure you have everything that you need. Do the test run before you get to Straightway. Make sure you understand and know how to put your tent up, especially if you're a single sister. Make sure you know how to put your tent up by yourself, you know, before you actually get to the land. Sister Ashley?
Hallelujah. Bring your trash bags for any of your wet laundry or any laundry bags that you might want to take to a laundry facility. Yeah, willing, we may have a washer and dryer for you and a new home up on top of the hill, but I can't guarantee that it's going to be there or guarantee that it's going to be open for you when you need it. So we do have some laundry machines in town, laundry mat in town. So if you end up using that, you want to have laundry ready, laundry bags ready, and also laundry soap. Bring it with you if you plan on taking care of laundry, if you have children and you'd like to wash. If you, and you will, go to the shower house, bring something, you know, a shower bag separate, something you can run off to the shower and come back to your tent and have it separate than your large luggage or something big that you wouldn't want to go in and out of. You know, the shower house always works out really, really well. A lot of people go early, some go late, some go midday. I mean, it works for everybody. It seems like everybody kind of gets a feel for when they go, and I've never really seen lines too long. It's amazing how that many people can, you know, get showered and get clean and not have any issues. So make sure you clean up after yourself and get it ready for the next person. Keep yourself sanitized. Hand sanitizer's everywhere. I've seen Pastor buy so much hand sanitizer, and you know, with the COVID scare, the prices have shot up anyway. So he's purchased so much. Please use it freely. Not abuse it, but use it freely. Two questions real quick from Anonymous. And I think this will, it might open up more phone calls. It may or may not, but we'll just plan on ending the show after this. First question is, what's the proper righteous balance between meekness and assertiveness in Yah? All right, so what's the proper balance between meekness and assertiveness? My initial thought would take me to 1 Corinthians 4:21. So, Mother Jennifer, if you don't mind going there, you can take your time. No rush tonight. 1 Corinthians 4:21. I'm going to try to go there myself. All right. Read when you're ready.
1 Corinthians 4. And what verse was that, Sister Ashley?
21. The last verse.
21. What will ye? Shall I come unto you with a rod or in love and in the spirit of meekness?
I like that verse. It's Paul, and y'all can read a few verses before. Paul is saying, what do you want? You know, you want me to come to you with a rod? You want me to come to you in love? You want me to come to you in the spirit of meekness? So he's kind of separating the three. But he's using the same intention. Yeah, this is a man whose heart has the same intention. I come to you with a rod. What is that? I'm going to come to you with a stick, right? I'm going to hit you over your head. I'm going to beat you with this staff. I'm going to make some changes, you know. Either way, his intention's not in question. I'm just bringing this verse out just for comparison. But or if I come to you in love, right? Of course, every time you address someone, you should do it specifically with affection, with charity, with humility, right? And then the third thing he said, in the spirit of meekness. So if he comes in the spirit of meekness, you know what that is? It's the spirit of gentleness, right? So there is a different manifestation of coming to you with a rod or coming to you in meekness, which is gentleness. Meekness is consistently gentle. Meekness is never over the top or boisterous or, you know, my mind starts going in different directions, so I want to try to make it simple. You wanting to be a gentle creature and a gentle woman after the Most High Yah, wanting to be meek and gentle, that is the avenue that you should stay in. If that's your desire, if that's what you want to produce, then become that. Strive for that. If your assertiveness is changing your intention, then you're coming off wrong. You're doing it wrong. If you're being assertive with the intention to control, or if you're being assertive with the intention to get your way, or because you're frustrated, someone's not listening or this is not going how I should, or, you know, what's the reason for your assertion? Like, what's the driven force behind it? When you relinquish all control and you say, I can't control my own child, you know, I can correct and discipline my child, but I can't tell you what he or she's going to do or what mine are even doing right now while I'm on the show, right? So you have to, when you want to be assertive with someone, just what is driving you? And hopefully it's always gentleness. I know I'm trying not to confuse, Mother. Help me out.
You know, Sister Ashley, I'm just looking at, you know, assertive. When you look at that word assertive, some of the words that are associated with assertive would be confident, forceful, self-confident, bold. And, you know, when you are looking at meekness, meekness will always bring the balance that you need without force. So if your desire is meekness and humility, that's going to be everything that you need it to be. You're not going to need to show an assertiveness. I know that word from, you know, the working world. The working world always wants women to be assertive. You know, they always say, make sure that you assert yourself. Make sure that you're assertive. But Yahweh is telling you to make sure that you're operating in meekness. And like Sister Ashley said, you have to understand and know what is the motive or the intent behind me feeling as if I need to be assertive. I think a lot of us look at meekness the wrong way. We look at meekness and we think that it's something where people are going to walk all over us, where we'll be a garbage can or we'll be a mat or whatever, what have you, because we haven't used meekness in the proper way. We haven't learned how to properly do that. But once you understand the ins and outs of meekness, that really is all you need, and that is the balance that you'll actually obtain. Sister Ashley?
Hallelujah, that's right. So gentleness is not driven by any force. It's not motivated by any hate or any control. Gentleness is just a pure existence inside of you because you're going to someone or handling someone the same way that you would hope someone would handle you or speak to you. You know, I don't know if we spend enough time considering one another, you know, or reflecting on how am I being received, you know, while you're all in yourself worried about how you're going to manifest Yah's fruit or how you're going to deal with something or how you're going to go to one another or what you're going to say. You're all in yourself. You're not asking yourself how she's going to receive or how she's going to think. Not that fear of how she's going to receive is going to needs to change your righteousness, but at the same time, if gentleness is your motivation, then you're clear. You know, others say with fear, pulling them out of the fire, Jude says, pulling them out of the fire. Now, if I was going to somebody with a good intention, then I'm pulling you out of the fire. I'm going and trying to strengthen you in the spirit of love and humility, not trying to hit you over the head with a rod or a stick or, you know, change you or beat you. I'm having long suffering. You know, I'm coming to you with the intention that if you still did it another 100 times, it would be okay. You know, being assertive and being forceful is saying you need to stop right now, as if you need to stop because I'm the one saying it. And maybe you make a mistake by you think that you're doing the Most High a favor to go to one another in love and to correct, but that's for you, not him. You know, he doesn't need you to do anything. You need to get it right. You need to do things right. You know, so a mistake that's made early on is, you know, I need to say something to her, and I need to say something to her. I need to handle this. I need to take care of this because if I don't, I'm not showing love, and you know, I'm allowing this, and I'm saying that I agree with it. If I don't say something, that's not the truth. It's not the truth. If you don't say something, you have to know, not just by my words or by this show, you have to know why you are or are not saying something. If you're motivated by your flesh, you're going to start a fire. And gentleness is a powerful force that will put a fire out and will strengthen someone. gentleness has the ability to silence herself at any time. And assertiveness might not have that same intention. So being assertive, is it okay? I'm not going to say yes, no, maybe, none of that. You're just allowing Yah to mold you. You're allowing your husband to mold you. You're being broken by him. I always suggest to sisters that if the way that you are is bringing about peace, then continue in it. But if you don't have peace while trying to be assertive, then question your intention. Question what you're doing. You know, manifest the opposite to see if you get the peace. So how's that, Mother Jennifer? You want to move on? Second question?
Sure, let's move on. I think you covered that very well.
All right, how not to feel condemned. How not to feel condemned when you realize the meditation and the iniquity of your own heart. How not to feel condemned. This is a light bulb that really needs to go off inside of you. And if it doesn't, you're going to continue to hear condemnation messages until the king returns, and you may or may not overcome it, honestly. Because let's go to, where is it, Romans 8:1. Let me see if I pulled it up. Romans 8:1, Mother Jennifer, just for example.
There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit.
And you're like, wait a second, but there is condemnation. I got it. And the word says, there is therefore now no condemnation. Yes, there is. I feel it. There is therefore now no condemnation, but it's on me. Right? So, condemned. Right? It gives it away right here in this verse. It says, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. You are walking after the flesh. When you feel condemnation, when you're led by condemnation, when you allow it to burden you down, you're walking according to the flesh. Now, you have to strengthen yourself by the help of the Ruach and the Holy Spirit and your meditations and your prayer. You have to strengthen your ability to resist condemnation, because you have to resist condemnation just like you do sin. All right, you used to behave yourself a certain way, and now you got to turn from it. You used to speak up or interrupt, and you're having to resist it, right? You're having to say, I'm not going to speak up. I'm not going to interrupt. I'm not going to talk this way. I'm not going to be condemned. It's the exact same habit that you form inside of you. You strengthen your mind. You say, I'm not going to waver. I'm going to resist condemnation just like I do everything else. And so this is how passivity there's no room for passivity in this walk. There really isn't, because it's like you want to manifest righteousness at all times. You never clock out. You never walk away from the faith or from the Father. You never just lay down and quit. You never say, I can be idle, you know. And there's something about the laziness of the flesh that wants to lay down or wants to quit or wants to, you know, walk away. So when it can't feel anything, it feels condemnation. And go ahead, Mother Jennifer, add to that.
Right, and when it can't feel anything, it feels condemnation, because the flesh becomes so used to burying, you know, anything that it feels that can be negative. You know, any pain, you know, you want to bury that pain. So instead of dealing with it, you continually bury it, and you walk around with condemnation because you haven't dealt with what you needed to deal with. Yah allows you to feel those things, to feel that pain, so that you can actually deal with it. But he never intended it to turn into condemnation. So when you're continually burying these things and not dealing with them, that's when it's going to turn into condemnation. A lot of times the Father will deal with you on certain things. You know, he'll put it on your heart, areas where you're falling short, and then it'll come out in the preaching, you know, as confirmation. So once you get to just a really mature state in Yah, when you hear that confirmation in the preaching, or you hear it through just another avenue, when you get that confirmation, that's when joy really starts to hit your heart, because you realize the love that the Father is truly pouring on you And that is what motivates you to not walk in condemnation. That it's Yah's love that causes you to just truly experience what conviction really means. Sister Ashley?
The dual part of that question was when you when your heart's meditation is, you know, evil or full of iniquity, or you know, when you have things in you that are contrary to the Father, and condemnation is present, my sisters, when you really have a carnal mind. And a carnal mind is enmity against Yah, right? It's not subject to the law, Yah, neither indeed can it be, it says. So let's go to Romans 8:6. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. To be spiritually minded is to really know and realize the Father's love. When the Father committed himself to you and gave his covenant to you, you were already born in sin, shape, and iniquity. Just because you're realizing what he's always known and realized but yet still loves you shouldn't bring about a condemnation or an unworthiness, because his commitment is not in question. So to have the mind of thanksgiving when you meditate, when something is revealed to you about yourself, it's like really being thankful for being able to see it. You know, really being thankful for having the strength in you to change it, to face it, to overcome it, to lay it down, to become someone else. Once again, passivity is such an excuse-making mentality. It's such carnality. So if you're actually running for your life and you're doing all that you know you can do, there's no room for condemnation. If you fall, if you make mistakes, if you don't understand, if you're thrown in the fire, if whatever's going on, if you're still producing as much as your vessel can produce, there's just no room for any condemnation. I know if you struggle with condemnation, it seems like potentially above your thoughts or your mind to even hear such victorious speech. But you need to, you know, because when the victorious speech is presented to your mind, you can say there's another way. There's another way to be. There's another way to think. I can be motivated by someone else's story and their testimony. I can be strengthened. You know, I can lay this down. Because if I am to just reflect on the iniquity of my own heart, then I'm potentially even saying I don't realize the Father's love for me. You know, I'm wallowing in my mire, in my sorrow, in my regrets, in my inabilities. But none of it is ministering how much he loves me, how committed he is. Nothing is telling me to be grateful or to praise him. It's the flesh. You see how the carnal mind is enmity? That's what I mean. But to be spiritually minded is life and peace, to say that this is why I need you. I need you because this is my heart. It's contrary, you know? Spiritually minded is to rely completely upon your Creator and not your own self, or to be, you know, to be as committed to him as he is committed to you means that nothing is going to present itself to me and surprise me, right? You say I'm born in sin and shaped in iniquity, so what should surprise me? If I've sat on a throne of pride and puffed myself up, then, yeah, it's going to be pretty devastating to fall off your throne. But if you're not on a throne, and you're walking in the sincere meekness of the Father, needing him every minute of it and every hour, then you're committed to him. Condemnation has no place. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please Yah. So you say, man, so you meditate on your flesh and you meditate on your heart and what you just did, or you meditate on the wrong things and you're not pleasing Yah because of your heart's meditation and the flesh that you're walking in. But if you're meditating on what is right, even if your flesh is bound, even if you want to be free and you're not, and you need deliverance, and this thing is tormenting you, and this is what it is. This is why I need you, Father. I can't deliver myself. I can't save myself. He has his role in our lives, right? And so if you're meditating on how much you need him because of your heart, then that's being spiritually minded too, right, Mother Jennifer?
Yes, absolutely. And when you're walking around in a state of condemnation, then you're actually accusing Yah of being unloving and unmerciful, because you don't see the love that he is really bestowing upon you. And so you're in a state of believing that you can't be forgiven, that you're beyond all hope, and, you know, you're not seeing Yah for the deliverer that he really is. And then these spirits are just going to continue to torment you, because you'll believe for everybody else, but you just won't believe for yourself. Sister Ashley?
Hallelujah. Therefore, my sisters, we are debtors not to the flesh, to live after the flesh, right? We're indebted to the Father not to continue to live after the flesh that drives us and the flesh that thinks contrary. And this is my heart, and this is what I'm bound by, and this is what I got going on, right? And if you live after that, you're not indebted to that. I don't owe that heart anything, right? Romans 8:13, if you live after the flesh, you shall die. But if you, through the Spirit, do mortify the deeds of the body, you shall live. So you mortify it, mortify it. It goes back to resisting, right? So you resist condemnation just like you do sin. You resist condemnation as a work in your flesh. You know, you become, my sisters, you have to transform everything, one thing at a time, of course, but everything. So if condemnation is something that you got your finger on, you might be over here, how do I say it? Satan is slick and he's sly, so he'll give you condemnation and you agree with it. He'll give you rejection, you don't agree, but he'll give you condemnation because you don't agree with it. You know, he's sly. So you just have to resist whatever he's presenting to you. If you really, really had a victorious mindset, if you're really, really committed to the Father the way that he's committed to you, and you're really staying on your face in all humility, because it's bigger than you. It doesn't matter how it appears. Like, man, Father, I should be, this thing should not be getting victory over me. So you try to fight it with your own strength. You know, you try to hold your head up, this is what I'm going to do. No, how about saying you need him? How about staying on your face? How about crying? How about being completely weak? You know, to the most minute thing, it is what it is. Nobody's running around saying, sister, you weak, you can't take nothing. Nobody's even saying that, but the enemy, right? And so pride says you should be over it. Condemnation says I'm bound by it. This is a vicious cycle. So once you get accustomed to how Satan works inside of you, then you're going to resist. And, you know, it is to our detriment that all of us weren't disciplined by our fathers and mothers growing up, because it molded and shaped your mind. You know, it's to our detriment that you didn't keep a job consistently, that you didn't keep your word, you know, that you didn't have righteous examples, but you do now. So you have to literally reshape your mind. And everything you thought you were, you're just not. You're just not, because heaven itself bears witness. You know, heaven itself bears witness. If you're in a time right now of being annihilated by the Father so that you will be, delivered, set free, so you'll repent, so you'll understand his role in your life, so you'll understand that he's sovereign, then that's just where you need to be. You know, don't be so quick to try to rise up out of the dust. Stay there, Mother.
Very true words, Sister Ashley. And, you know, when you stay there and you realize where you are, then you'll realize that you don't want to be there anymore when you do come out of it. And we're not saying stay there as in, you know, stay in the negative thoughts and all that. But you need to really realize where you are and understand who is the one that will deliver you, so that when you see that your mind is starting to go back to those places, you know, once you've been set free and you're tempted to go back to those places, you'll remember, I'm never, never, ever going back there again. And so you'll realize the very first signs of, you know, what the mind does to take you back there again. And then you'll learn to resist even faster. Sister Ashley?
Hallelujah. I think I'll end my thoughts with you know, asking yourself certain questions to get yourself out of stuff. You know, I always share with sisters that you are bound by a certain thing or bound by a response. You know, you fell into the same thinking pattern or the same habit or whatever it is, you fell into it again. What you want to do is decrease the time that you stay in that mindset. You fell into it again, decrease the time that you're in that mindset. So you're bound by, man, rejection bothered you on Shabbat because you're looking around, everybody's happy but you, or whatever. Man, decrease the amount of Sabbaths that you're going to give Satan. Decrease the amount of time that you're going to allow him to say what he says. Is he going to stop saying what he's saying? No, but you strengthen your mind. Let this mind be in you, right? But ask yourself certain questions like, am I really waiting on someone to love me? Am I really, like, just waiting on, man, the you know, looking for someone to constantly encourage me or looking for someone to say something good or, like, what this love hunger that we talked about on a show recently comes to my mind, you know, because you're just walking about, wandering around, looking for somebody to love you and reach out a hand. And if they do, if they say, great job and you did this and wonderful and impressive and amazing and all the synonyms, and they just pour it into you. It's only for the moment anyway. So you need to really, really embrace the Father's love and be steadfast in it. Like, it's there. The same love that he had the moment that he drawn you out of the world. It's never failing. It's still the same love now. Just because you're in a way or you're bound or you're tormented, it doesn't move his love. His love is an ever-present existence like the air we breathe. If you see the air we breathe as his love, then maybe you know it won't go anywhere. And when you're committed to that belief, like my Father's love is not going anywhere, then I don't have to run around looking for somebody to replace that. You know, who's bigger than the air we breathe? And the vastness and the depths of it and the length of it. There's none greater. And his love is truly engulfs us. Like the air we breathe and the oxygen we don't see, you know. So when you get in this mindset and you get off thinking this or get rejected by this person or you bound by anything imaginable, the list goes on. It still doesn't move our Yah and his commitment is forever. And so that's really a beautiful journey that you've embarked on in coming this way. Is believing it, not just because it's the thing to say, but believing it because it's all you got. It's all you got. The Father, the air you breathe, the love in the air you breathe, the love, that's all I got. That's it. So I'm not love hungry for her to say a certain thing. I'm not love hungry for him to act a certain way. I'm not love hungry if this fails and it don't go my way, if I don't get free, if I don't get deliverance, if I don't, man, I'm just, he's not going anywhere. Just love me. Just love me. Mother Jennifer.
Hallelujah. Sister Ashley, I think that was very well put. I don't have anything to add.
All right. Bless y'all. No calls. I'll see y'all so soon. We just wanted to come in here and make ourselves available. I'm going to go ahead and end the show, Mother Jennifer, with your words. And as I said to everyone with abundant thank yous, if I don't have the chance to see you and squeeze you and be in your presence, to all the sisters who lead the communities, not because you wanted to, but because your husband was selected to be the head or the elder of more than one man, I thank y'all so much. Y'all have pulled together. You have directed the women that work with you. You have submitted to your authorities. You have done above and beyond what we've requested of you with what you may be bringing or doing or committed to when you get here. Every single one of you. Sister Chris, thank you. Everybody who, Sister Sierra, thank you. Bless you, Shalea, Allison, Margaret, Angela, all of you in South Carolina. To everyone who is coming, I pray that each of us get a moment to just say hi and greet one another. Some of us are more social than others, but have no hesitations to go up and simply introduce yourself. And another thing that comes to my mind is you never know. You know, we lost a precious sister from Kansas City this past season.
And you never know when the Father will call anybody home. And because of that, it gives me, you know, I try to live every day like it's the last, but I also try to be very grateful to the people in front of me, to always express my gratitude. So if you have the opportunity when you come here to express your gratefulness to somebody who you've been in contact with, maybe you've never met them yet, maybe you're a sister from Arizona and she's a sister from Massachusetts, and you've stayed in contact but you've never hugged each other, you know, make sure you say the things to one another that's going to uplift each other's spirit and really bring a positive vibe and a welcoming spirit to the land, to speak kindness one to another and to tell one another the things that you would want to tell them if you never saw them again. You know, sometimes I desire to speak to each one of you in that manner, and may y'all grant me that time as well. But I bless y'all and love you dearly, and hallelujah. Mother Jennifer, in the show.
In all things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of Yah, which is in Christ Jesus, our Master. Shalom.